We ended the service last week talking about taking all that we know about God, and we put our hands out like this, took everything that we knew about God, and we lifted it up to him, and we asked him to help us to see him clearly and take him at his word. And so today we're going to be looking at what big faith looked like in the word and talk about what it should look like in our lives today. Recently, I've heard two different stories that came out of Redding, California from Bethel Church that I want to tell you about this morning. The first one was one of their worship leaders had a two-year-old daughter, and that was this last December, who unexpectedly passed away in her sleep. And this leader went to her pastor, and because her and her husband felt that their daughter was not to have passed. And so they went to their pastor and they and the leaders at Bethel Church and asked them to stand with them and pray for the resurrection of their daughter. This prayer request began what became a week of daily worship and prayer at the church, standing together in prayer for resurrection of the small child. Now, the response to this in the world and among believers was mixed. Many people stood with the church, believing in prayer for little Olive, what was her name, little Olive, to come back to life. Many people thought it was ridiculous, and they scolded the leaders for supporting what obvious was to them simply just parents in denial that their child had died. After 1 week of prayer and petition before God, Bethel Church felt that it was time, and they stopped the gatherings and felt that they had got their answer, and the child was not raised. So the question is when you look at that, which side do you stand on? Do you stand believing that God can raise a child from the dead, or would you tend to be skeptical of that? I'm going to tell you the other story in just a little bit, but first I want to go into the Bible and take a look at big faith there to give us a clear picture of what it looked like then and what it should look like now. Hebrews 11 is known as the faith chapter, and so we're going to start there today. And we're going to just read verse 1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So from this verse already, we see that faith isn't something that we see, but it does include our hope. And also, that verse points out that we are not to be hesitant in it, but we are to be confident in it. A couple verses down, we start seeing the writer pointing out people of faith. Verse 7 talks about Noah, who had never experienced rain, but spent 120 years building a boat to save his family because his faith in what God, because of his faith in what God was telling him. Abraham is mentioned, having faith in a few different ways in this chapter. He moved his family to a place he'd never been, and he believed that God was going to give him an heir, even though he and his wife were old. And then if you skip down to verse 17 in Hebrews chapter 11, it says this: by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him that it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. Further down, we're reminded of people marching around Jericho 7 times and then shouting and the walls fell down. What kind of faith would make you do that? Doesn't make any sense. Really, if you read this whole chapter, you see people doing crazy things against what they would usually do, facing imprisonment, wandering in the wilderness, living in caves, and some even dying. And why? Because they had confidence in what they hoped for and assurance about what they didn't see. See, in all of these cases, they had the assurance of who God was and what he had said to them. They trusted him with the outcome. See, big faith is a full reliance on God's character, but also a full reliance on God's sovereignty. The definition of sovereignty is supreme power and authority. That means that God's the only one that gets the final say on the outcome. It's his choice. And when we understand that God is sovereign and we fully trust in his sovereignty, in faith, we can pray big prayers. When we fully trust his sovereignty, in faith, we can pray big prayers. We're going to turn over to Luke chapter 18. And if you want to turn there, you can. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. Luke 18, verse 18. It's chapter 18, verse 1. One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, and he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." And the judge ignored her for a while. But finally, he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with her constant requests." Then the Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith?" See, God asks us to come to him, to have a conversation with him, to bring our desires and our hopes to him. And when we do that, we deepen our relationship with him, and that builds trust. We get to know our God when we speak to him and to listen to him. Then the next part is crucial. We allow him to be sovereign. We don't harden our hearts when we don't get our way. Yes, that is actually a choice that we can make. He will be sovereign because it's who he is. But if things don't go how we want them to, bitterness can rise up. Unbelief can rise up. Thinking maybe God isn't who he said he is, or that we can trust that God knows best and that thinking that maybe he is who he says he is, or we can trust that God knows best and that he will allow all things in our lives to work together for good, for our good. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes for them. During that week of prayer for Olive, Bill Johnson recorded a video during that week. He's the pastor at Bethel. He recorded a video during that week of prayer for little Olive in which he said this: "When it doesn't work, we don't blame God. We give him the glory. We give him the praise. We celebrate his goodness and his kindness, because nothing in our experience, difficult or not, changes who he is." I want to read that again. When it doesn't work, we don't blame God. We give him the glory. We give him the praise. We celebrate his goodness and his kindness, because nothing in our experience, difficult or not, changes who he is. The other story I was going to share with you about Bethel happened about 2 years ago when another two-year-old in their congregation, with another two-year-old in their congregation, a little boy named Jackson and his four-year-old sister, Addie, caught a nasty strain of E. coli. And Jackson's body took a bad turn and slowly began to shut down. The whole church was praying for him, but the doctors told them more than once that Jackson was not expected to live. There was a song that we sing called "Raise a Hallelujah," if you're familiar with it. That song was written as an anthem for Jackson's family. And they played it over him as he laid in the ICU. Over and over, they and all who knew them at Bethel Church prayed for Jackson's recovery and worshiped him. And then one day, Jackson started getting better. Within a month from hearing that their son wouldn't live the night, Jackson was headed home and made a full recovery. God answered their prayers. They worshiped and they prayed. They believed. God got the glory. He was sovereign, and Jackson was healed. Philippians 4:8, I'm sure you all know the verse. If you don't know it, you will probably when I start saying it. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. I looked up a few translations of this scripture, and every single one that I saw said either in every situation or but in everything, present your request to God. That leaves nothing out. In everything, we should be asking the Lord. We should be talking to him. 1 John 5:14. I know I'm throwing a lot of scriptures at you, so I hope you guys are keeping up with that. If I'm confusing, just yell at me or something. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. According to this, I see my part. My part is pretty straightforward. First, I need to believe that God hears my prayers. The big ones and the little ones. I need to be willing to pray the big, impossible prayers. Be willing to pray the big, impossible prayers. If you think you don't have enough faith, I'm sure that you've heard about the faith of a mustard seed in Matthew 17:20 that reads, "You don't have enough faith," Jesus told them. "I tell you the truth. If you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it would move, and nothing would be impossible." Nothing would be impossible. Man, if I knew somebody who could speak to a mountain and it would move, I would think that person had really big faith. But we need the size of a mustard seed. Mustard seeds, they're tiny. Faith of a mustard seed to do that. So why do we shy away from praying the big prayers? Why aren't we praying without ceasing for healing for those in our body here at the Bridge that are in pain? Why don't we lay hands on the sick and see them healed? Why are we content to feel bad for those in bad situations and not just stop right there and pray for them? And then expect God to move the mountain. That's what it says he will do. He'll move the mountain if he so chooses to. I have a few testimonies in my own life of what God has been teaching me about praying big prayers. I'm going to start off with a silly one. About 5 years ago, Scott and I were looking for a vehicle, and we knew we needed a minivan because we have a lot of kids. So we picked out the kind we wanted, and there was multiple vans that would fit that criteria. We knew what kind we wanted, we knew what year, and all of them except for one was the same color. They were all, and they're a fine color. It was a great color. But there was one that was blue, and I wanted the blue one. But the blue one was $1,000 more than any of the other ones. And so I prayed about it, and I said, "Lord, I totally trust you that you're going to give us the van that we need. But if I could have what I want..." Have you ever prayed those prayers? You're like, "Lord, if I could have the one I want, I really would like the blue one. But if that's not the one for us, I will be happy with any of them. Like, I totally trust you, Lord, in this moment." Within 2 hours of that prayer, the price of the van dropped $1,000. Not even joking you. We went down, bought the van. It's taken us to Disneyland 5 times. It's awesome. But that was something just for me. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that. Any one of those vans would have been fine. But he did. It doesn't matter what color my van is. It doesn't matter. There was no reason for that price to drop. He was in charge of that. I fully give God the glory for that. I made my request and trusted his sovereignty, and I can do that because I had the faith at that moment. My faith in him reminds me that he is trustworthy. Reminds me that he's trustworthy, and so I can trust him. If we go back a little bit further in my story, a few years earlier, I was at Generation Unleashed with the youth group here. I don't remember how many years ago it was. It was probably 8 years ago, I think. And I was there, and it was during a worship service, and there was people being prayed for and people being healed. I've never experienced anything like this before. I've seen healings happen and things like that. I've never experienced it where I was praying for someone. My niece, Amber, many of you know her. She's at Bethel right now, but she was here and part of our youth group at the time. And she played softball every year for school. And every single year, her knee was just messed up. Like, she was, after practice, she was in there getting it iced, and she was having all kinds of problems with her knee. And at Generation Unleashed, sometime in her high school years, during that prayer time, I felt that I was to go and pray for her. And I went over to her, and I didn't know what I was doing. I was just like, I just feel like I'm supposed to pray for you, so I'm over here to pray for you. And I knelt down, and I put my hands on her knees. And as we began to pray, and I don't even remember who else was there. There was a couple people praying. As we were praying, her knee popped. Like, I felt it. My hand was on her knee, and I felt it pop. And she never had a problem again. It was in that moment I felt compelled to go and pray, and I did it. And God did it, and I am just still like, wow, okay, Lord, like, that was pretty cool. And she never has had problems since then, and that was 8 years ago. See, now I lost my place. Oh. The third story that I have to share, see, you like all my stories, you're learning all about my life. The third story that I want to share is about my kids. And, you know, I think any time that you teach or, you know, do something like this, your kids end up being in your talk. And so for my kids who are listening right now, you're welcome. David, 3 of my 4 children are type 1 diabetics. And Jacob, my 17-year-old, was the first one diagnosed on September 14th of 2004. He was 2 years old at the time. And I didn't quite understand. I didn't know what diabetes was. I knew type 2 diabetes. That's different than type 1. So it took me a while to figure out what that even was. You know, usually you take your kid to the hospital, and they fix them, and then you take them home. And for us, it was, we went to the hospital, and our whole lives changed. Forever. I mean, until God heals them. But so I'm praying for Jacob, and I'm praying for Jacob, and I'm praying for Jacob, and I'm like, okay, Lord, I know you can do this. I'm going to trust you, and I know you can do this. And then 1.5 years later, instead of seeing the healing that I was hoping for, Gabriel became a type 1 diabetic. Okay, that's the opposite, Lord, of like what we're trying to do here. So then I have 2, and Gabriel was about 5 when he was diagnosed. And then I'm like, okay, Lord, I want you to heal them both. That's what I'm going to pray for. I'm going to pray that you heal them both. And so we're praying, and it was about 2 years later or something like that. I'd have to go back and actually, like, look at the dates that David was diagnosed. So then when you're praying, you're going, okay, Lord, maybe I should stop praying, because the longer I pray, the more my kids have type 1 diabetes, which, you know, that's a joke. But, you know, there's this thing inside of you when you're contending for something and you're praying for something, and you not only do you not see it happen, but it seems to get worse, that you, even if you don't blame God, you become complacent. You become complacent. You're not anymore contending. When I would pray for my kids, it would be, Lord, I need you to heal all 3 of them at the same time, because if you don't do it all at the same time, then one of them's going to think that you like them better than the other, and then we're going to have a whole other problem. But is God sovereign? God is sovereign. So 3 of my kids are type 1 diabetics, and God is good. And God can heal, and he can do things that we can't fathom. This path with my diabetic boys keeps bringing me back to him. He's teaching me that in all things, keep praying, keep praising, and keep trusting him. And the outcome is up to him. The obedience is up to me. Give him glory in everything. And like Bill Johnson said, we don't blame God. We give him the glory. We give him the praise. We celebrate his goodness and his kindness because nothing in our experience, difficult or not, changes who he is. He is a miracle-working God. He is sovereign. He is our provider, and we can believe it. See, here's the thing. What do we lose if we pray for healing and it doesn't happen? Are we any worse off if we trust God and things don't change? Don't we want to believe for everything that God says he is? Or do we only want to believe what we see? That's not faith. If we have to see it, or if it has to be put in our realm of possibility, faith is the assurance of what we cannot see, not the assurance of what we can see would probably happen. It is the assurance of what we cannot see. In both instances of these children at Bethel, they needed God's intervention. The church stood and they prayed for a miracle, and God was sovereign. And he got the glory in both circumstances. A couple weeks ago, I went to the New Hope Gala fundraiser, and they were talking about where the college came from, about the roots of what was originally Eugene Bible College. And in talking about that, they referenced a quote from the founder of the college, Fred Hornshue, and they mentioned this quote a couple times, and it just really stuck with me, and it kind of sums this up for me. Why be happy with a single blessing when you could get a double blessing or even more? See, sometimes we can see a single blessing as a possibility. But as we are believing for a single answer or a single blessing, God may be really wanting to give us a double blessing or even more. Being content feels really good. And it's an awesome thing to be content. But it is possible to be content where God has us. And at the same time, ask him that if it be in his sovereign will, that he would do all that he wants to do in our lives. I want to live my life for God. I want to know and walk out my life as though I know he is a miracle-working God. I want my prayer life to look like to myself and to anyone who hears me pray that my God is a miracle-working God. Look at the Bible and you will see miracle upon miracle upon miracle. Jesus turned the water to wine. He healed the lepers. He healed the blind. He healed the bleeding. He raised Lazarus from the dead. And in John 14, he says this in verse 12, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." He said, we will do works, the same works that he did. In fact, we will even do greater works than what he did. And if his word is true, like we talked about last week, if his word is true, and I believe that, and I want to take him at his word, I can ask anything in his name, and his word says it right there. We will do the things that we know he did, and we will do even greater things than these. So I would ask you, what are you hoping for? What are you believing for? Are the big giants in your life things that you stopped asking? The things that you gave up on or never believed that God would do that? What things in your life have you looked at and said, well, I guess it's always going to be that way. I guess I'm always going to be in pain. I guess that this big problem is always going to be here. I guess I'll never have this or I'll never do that. Those are absolutes and those are not the place that we want to live. I know that as a body of believers, that if you said to somebody in here, do you believe that God can do miracles? We would say yes. But the question is, are you standing for him? Are you asking for him? Are you bringing them to the Lord so that he can actually do them? See, in the instances of these little kids that I was reading about, I want to be the one who believes that God can raise the little girl from the dead. And I don't want to limit God in what he can do. Now, the outcome of that is up to him. And he is sovereign, and he will work all things together for the good of me and for the good of you. And we need to trust him in that. Take him at his word. All the things that he says that he will do for you. He says that he hears our prayers, but if we're not praying them, how can he be hearing them? And yes, he does hear our hearts and he knows our desires, but there's something that happens in us when we bring those to the Lord. It softens our hearts towards him. It helps us to see him working in those situations. It helps us to look to him for things. It develops our relationship, which develops our trust, which means we can believe him and we can trust him to be sovereign and be good at the same time. He's sovereign and he's good. We need to pray today. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world that may be weighing on you. There's a lot of stuff that's going on in your life probably that may be weighing on you. And here's the thing that I would say to you today. Your God is a miracle-working God. And he will be good to you. And he will take care of you. And we will, as we believe, we will see healings in this place. We will see freedom in this place. We will see chains fall off. We will see the captives be set free. We will see people come to the Lord in this place because we ask for it and we trust God with the outcome. So this morning, it's time to respond. It's time to respond in your hearts. It's time to respond in your actions. And so would you stand with me, please? I'm hoping that as I was speaking this morning that God was speaking to you and that maybe he brought some things to your mind that maybe you've given up on in praying. Maybe there's some things in your life that you've just accepted as, oh, I guess this is how it's always going to be. And God doesn't want us to do that. He wants to give us contentment, but never having it limit our faith, never having us be in a position where we would limit what God would want to do. So this morning, I'm going to ask you to respond. And not just by thinking about it, I want you to actually respond. If there is something in your life that you know that you need to take to God, that you need a miracle in. And I mean a miracle, like something that maybe it's something that you never even thought about praying about because it's just, oh, that's just too big. God is not too small for anything in your life. Amen. He is above all. He is above all. He is bigger than anything. So if that is you this morning, I want you to come out and I want you to come stand up here. Just come stand in the front. If there's something in your life that you want to see God's healing for, if there's something in your life that you want to see God move, a situation that he needs to take care of, something in your life that you have hung on to that maybe you need to let go of and you just assumed that that was just how it was going to be, I want you to move right now and come forward. This morning, we can ask God to move mountains for us. We can ask him to move the mountains. But I will tell you that as you pray it, trust his sovereignty. Trust his choices that he makes, because he will work everything together for your good. Mom and Tiffany, can you come up here and just stand up here? If you want somebody to actually pray with you this morning, where's Derek? Derek, can you come up here as well, and Marion maybe? If you want someone to pray with you, I want you to come to these people and have them pray with you. But we're going to pray all together. But I really believe, here's the thing, I believe that God can heal things in an instant. We don't have to wait long periods of time. Sometimes he will do that. But sometimes he wants to fix it right now. He wants to do it right now. And I believe that he's here today. And I believe he's in this place. And I believe that when people encountered God, when they encountered Jesus in the Word of God, their lives were changed and they literally walked away different than when they came to him. Do you believe that? Yes. Do you believe it?
Yes.
He can do it now. He can do it today.
Amen.
And in his sovereign will, he can do it right now. So I want you to just lift your hands out to him right now. Oh, Father God. Father God. Lord, we come this morning to take you at your word. We come this morning to believe for those things, Lord God, those things in our life, and we all have them, Lord. Those things in our life that we have given up on, the things in our life that we have just taken for granted, Lord God, things in our lives that we thought would just always be a part of something that we have to deal with, the situations that are impossible, Lord God. Lord, the sicknesses that need to be healed, the wounds that need to be healed, Lord God, the physical, anything physical, Lord God, that needs to be healed, Lord, we believe that you can and that you do heal. We believe that you can and you do provide. We believe that you can and you do justice in our lives, Lord God. And Lord, we come before you this morning in full confidence, Lord, which is our full faith, believing that you are sovereign and you are good. And the things that we cannot see, Lord God, we pray that you would bring those to us this morning, Lord God. The things that you have for us that we have limited you, that we've put a box on that and said, no, God can't do anything in that, Lord. We pray that you would just rip the lid off of that box, Lord God. And that we would stand and believe and that we would see you move. Lord, we do trust that you are sovereign. Lord, it says in your word that you are sovereign, and we trust that. But Lord God, there is also many times in the word where you say, bring it to me, bring it to me, bring it to me. And so Lord, we come and we stand and we believe for your moving in our lives. Lord, I pray for every single mountain right now in the name of Jesus to be moved. Right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We declare that you are the one who gets to dictate our lives. You are the one that gets to move us. You're the one that gets to say when we are healed. You're the one that gets to do those things. And we completely get our hands off of it, Lord. Completely get our hands off of it, Lord. And we believe you and we take you at your word this morning. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. Oh, I thank you for your goodness, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for your healing of my boys, Lord, when you deem it to be fit, Lord God. I thank you for their healing now, Lord, and I will give you all the glory. And that's the thing, Lord, we want to give you glory. Lord, when we see these things happen in our lives, when you move those mountains, Lord, I pray that you would help us to just lift our eyes and give you glory. Lord, give credit where credit is due. This is not something that we are doing. It is something that you are doing. And Lord, we thank you for it ahead of time. We thank you for it ahead of time. We give you glory. We give you praise. We want to honor you, Lord God. So Lord, we stand with you today, and we believe with you today, and we thank you for what you're going to do in every single situation. Thank you that you see us right where we're at. You see us right where we're at. And in those places, Lord God, you are with us. So Lord, I pray that you would grow our faith today, that we would take you at your word. Lord, I pray that this week would be a week of miracles. Lord, I pray for this pandemic, Lord God, this coronavirus, Lord. I pray that it would be done in the name of Jesus. Lord, that is a big prayer, but you are a bigger God. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, that fear would be gone in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that your healing would be here in Jesus' name. Lord, do what you want in your people. Lord, I pray that we would rise up and love people the way that we need to, that we would, that your perfect love would cast out fear in this country, Lord God, and in this world. And we thank you that we can trust you with that. Thank you that we can trust you with that, Lord God. You are so good and you are so faithful. And we thank you for what you're doing right now in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in your perfect and holy name. Amen.